Hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
You're going to be excited to know that I recently had some AI machine learning installed in my brain. So now you don't even have to talk. I know exactly what you're going to say before you say it.
Oh, okay.
And there's this database of things that you've always said from age 2 to now.
Yeah.
So I've got all these algorithms, and I know that you are going to say
that
this is Stranger Still.
Oh.
Welcome to Stranger Still, the podcast where we talk about the things you never thought to ask. I'm Nick Wood.
I'm Jonathan Beacon.
And sometimes...
Sometimes we use our full name, because we get on a topic that's a little more serious than most.
This is maybe one of the more serious ones we've covered. I don't know, like, we've given these disclaimers before.
Yeah.
Where the subject matter is, like, it's not funny.
Yeah.
So if we nervously laugh...
So just disclaimers again, like, if you have kids in the room, you might want to make sure that they're not in the room. If you have, like, a wife or a loved one... friends, maybe
divorce them,
stop, you know,
remove them from
listen
your
to
life.
It or not in the same room as them, at least, you know.
Yeah. Now we're talking about predictive text today, and this is such a weird topic.
Yeah,
because I don't know how this became the most voted on suggestion for this month.
Nick doesn't understand democracy.
I don't understand technology. I don't understand.
People clicked it and it won, Nick.
Yeah, well, I understand how voting works.
You said that you didn't.
Maybe we should institute, like, an electoral college so that if I don't want to cover it... Just kidding. I did want to cover this because, like, as I started to research, like, you say, we're going to talk about predictive text. That sounds like a two-minute podcast. I found, like, 2.5 pages of notes on predictive text.
I knew you would.
Because it's actually really fascinating, believe it or not.
I did. I had more faith than you.
Yeah.
I predicted it.
It's like... It's
you don't get many of those.
It's related to today's topic.
I get it, but I only get to do that once or twice. So let's continue.
All right. I'm going to start making check marks. Do you use predictive text a lot?
Only when I want to say something ridiculous to you sometimes.
Yeah. It's like whenever we want to play those games where you just hit predictive text until you get a sentence. We used to do that a lot.
Another fun one that people are doing now is... I saw it in a Flophouse group.
Yeah.
You... do the first half of a song and then do the rest with predictive text.
Yeah.
They come out decent sometimes.
Yeah. I've seen a bunch of, like, prompts on Facebook where it's like, it gives you the first part of a sentence and then you fill it out like, the last thing I ate was...
We're going to have to do a whole video on those specific type of Facebook videos that have bars on top and bottom of them.
And they're just pictures?
Yeah. You won't believe. And then it's crying laughy face on the bottom.
Who did this crying laughy emoji?
Right.
We could do that, but, like, Jax Films already did a really good video on it. So
did Ethan and Ella.
That too. Just go watch those. But I don't use predictive text a lot. Like, I see the suggestions up there, and I just ignore them because it takes me a while to get on a roll while I'm texting, and then while I do, I don't want to stop and move my thumb up to hit the predictive text.
Yeah, and if you hit the number, if you hit it more than you're typing your own words, and you say something beautiful, Apple has a copyright to that beautiful saying.
Yeah, so you can't, like, publish it or anything. Right. You can't tweet it out.
That's why you can't predictive text a book.
Yeah. Which people do. We'll get into that. Oh, maybe. Boy. I don't have it in my notes, so remind me to talk about it.
Okay. I was joking.
No, I wasn't. People write books using, like, predictive text and all kinds of totally stupid. But if you use your phone a lot, if you're doing that, like, thing where you're completing the sentences, you might get some really interesting answers, because the more you use your phone, the more personalized your predictive text becomes, which is kind of like a... I don't know if it's... underappreciated, but that's kind of an amazing piece of technology, that you have, like, your own personal dictionary of words that you often use, and your phone just knows that.
Yeah, I just no matter what I type, it tries to correct it to twerk, and I guess I say that a lot of my own time.
I guess so. You've never said that to me.
I've been twerking all over.
It's fine.
Yeah.
So we're gonna talk about predictive text, and I'm gonna expand out the topic a little bit. We'll talk about, like, neural networks, and eventually I want to talk about, like, text to speech, because we did that funny video a while back where we were making, like, a Siri.
Yeah, you're being program. A little... That's funny, a strong word, Nick.
It was
a video.
It was a video. It had
humor
joke,
attempts,
at least.
Mm-hmm.
it was funny adjacent, maybe.
Yeah.
But recently there's the Google Duplex thing, which is like that assistant that called and made a haircut in a restaurant.
Yeah, terrifying. Yep, I listened to him.
Terrifying. So I want to cover that too. But we'll start off with predictive text. And when it comes to predictive text, depending on how complex it is, like it depends on the phone that you have, will determine how complex it is, and that determines what all goes into it. These days, the cell phones are pretty universal, so there's not like a big difference between Apple or Android or Windows phones, because who uses Windows phones? but they're pretty universal in terms of like coding and programming and the algorithms and stuff. But per usual, Android has a few things that came up that make it a little bit better. Shelby says that her auto, her predictive text is worse than it, when she had a Apple phone. But we'll talk about that. We'll get there. Okay, hold your horses. Nay.
I mean, I'm still here. This is good. I like my predictive text. I think it's pretty accurate most of the time.
Yeah.
Which makes it less funny.
It's just depressing more yeah. than anything. So for the most part, our predictive texts, no matter what phone you're using, uses two things, which is machine learning and language probabilities, which sounds just super, super exciting, doesn't it? We've spent a little bit of time with machine learning and neural networks when we talked about whether or not AI is inherently racist. We kind of just like grazed the surface of how neural networks work. I'm going to try to do it again. I don't remember what I said in that last one, so I don't know if it's useful information or not. It's also really hard to explain, so I'm just going to do the best I can.
All right. And computer brains.
There's computer brains, and there's a million different neural networks out there, so like, don't come at me and say, what about convolutional neural networks?
I'll explain the convolutional neural networks.
It's very convoluted. Predictive texts use a neural network, which... this is where you feed a program or an algorithm a bunch of information. It deciphers that information based on the algorithm that you program. And then you tell it how you wanted it to slice that data. And it feeds that back in. It like assigns certain ways of slicing the data a score. And then the next time it runs, it uses that score to determine whether or not it's going to go down that route again. So in the instance of predictive text, the information that you're feeding it is the entire dictionary and some words that may or may not be in the dictionary.
Mm-hmm. You get three options, you pick one, and it gets a higher score than the other two.
Yeah. So that's like the feedback that you give it. So that's how you tell it how you wanted it to slice the data. And then when you select it, it just feeds back in and keeps coming up. Eventually you build, like I said, your own personal dictionary. That's what your phone does. It assigns scores to the words that you use most. And when you are coming up on the context that might use that word, it's more likely to pop up. The other thing though, it goes both ways. So if a word comes up and you ignore it, then it's like, oh, that's not a word that he's going to usually use. And that score can go down lower. And that actually also feeds into like autocorrect, because autocorrect is very much the same as predictive text. Because like, let's say you type something like beeb, B-E-E-B, and naturally the program is like, well, the N key is right next to the B key. Maybe he meant Ben, bean, however you want to pronounce it.
Yeah.
B-E-E-N. So it'll offer that as an autocorrect suggestion. So let's say you ignore it. Now that's added to your own personal dictionary.
Yeah.
That's a fake word that's not in the dictionary, but now your autocorrect thinks that it's one word that you use. So it might still try to correct you to Ben for a while, but if you ignore it enough, then it'll be like, okay, this is just a word that he wants to use. And I'm not going to tell him not to.
To the point where it's like, I've beeb thinking.
I've been thinking.
You want to say Ben and it will correct you to beeb?
Yeah, because it can go like the opposite direction where you do type Ben and it's like, did you mean beeb?
Yeah.
You're just like a really huge Justin Bieber fan. It's the same thing as predictive text.
It's a beeb babe.
A beeb babe?
Yeah, Bieber babe.
Oh.
You don't know about the Bieber babes?
No.
I was a Bieber babe.
I know
babe.
You do.
Yeah. When I was a young boy.
You're like big into Bieber brows and Bieber babes.
I was really into Bieber brows. He had a good brow line. Now he's an adult.
Yeah.
Still has some good brows.
You scare me. The other thing that feeds into the neural network and is kind of an entirely different issue on its own is language probabilities, which is something I think that we take for granted. We don't really think about language probabilities. Do you ever think about language probabilities?
You're probably going to think about it. See, I just assessed the probability that you're going to end that with a question mark.
Yeah.
And I said the question mark.
Yeah. I mean, that is part of it. I know you're joking, but like that's a part of it.
Exclamation point.
So... your predictive text can't just use machine learning, because what you're doing with the machine learning is you have a list of all the words in the dictionary, and you tell it, I need a word, and it sends out a word. And if it's like fresh and new, it could be any word at all. And as you start to build it up, you get those scores going and stuff. It adds some nuances there. But if you didn't have context, it would just like suggest all of the nouns you ever use. It would just be like,
I, she, he.
Yeah, the sentence wouldn't make any sense. It wouldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So this is where language probabilities come in, which is, at least like in the English language, there's pretty concrete rules. I mean, language is always evolving, and a lot of people don't follow these rules anymore. But for the most part, the English language has two parts to it. There's the subject and the predicate. Do you remember that from high school at all? Middle school?
All I can think about is when you get a subject and a predicate. Man, what is it?
Is there a song to this?
Yeah, dude.
I'll trust you. The subject is what the sentence is talking about. So it could be him, her, it, they, that, them, we, whatever the sentence is about. And the predicate is whatever happens to the subject. So he ran. Ran is the predicate. It's usually like a verb or an adjective or combination of the two. That's like the general construction of an English sentence.
All right, bud. I've got your back on this. Just to wrap up how eloquently you stated this. With the subject and predicate. It was from NWA.
NWO, the Wrestling Federation?
No, you're way behind.
Are you going to sing to me?
Yeah, dude. As soon as I get there. I'm dropping flavor. My behavior is hereditary, but my technique is very necessary. Blame it on Ice Cube, because he said it gets funky when you get a subject and a predicate. Add it on a dope beat, and it'll make you think. Some suckers just tickle me pink to my stomach.
That was cute.
Yeah, it's NWA.
Thanks for doing that. New Word Ada. Is that what it stands for?
No way, Jose. The J or H is silent. No way, Jose.
I don't think that's how initialisms work, but... So,
what does it stand for in wrestling?
Isn't it like New Wrestling Order?
There's
New
an A on the end. Oh, NWO.
I was... Anyway, now you're behind, you jerk.
I'll catch up on NWA, you catch me up on NWO.
Okay, off the air. Next week's, or next month's bonus episode.
Cool.
The sentence structure, subject, predicate, there's things along the way, like particles, like is, it, the, there's adjectives, there's all kinds of other words, but they usually come in a predictive fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to have a sentence that's just like three nouns or four nouns in a row, and you're not going to say like...
I grass. It's I ate grass.
Yeah. I grass. It sounds like a caveman.
I ran through the grass.
Yeah. You're not going to have words like ago without having time attached to it, right? So like long ago, long time ago. So there's words that you're not going to see pop up without other words.
It's dependent on its relationship with another word.
Yes, exactly. What an elegant way to put that. So there's like a whole just entire study on language probabilities, which is to say, if you use this type of word in this category of sentence structure, what's the probability of this type of word coming up next? So if you say I, what's going to come next? It's going to be a verb, an adjective, noun. It's probably going to be a verb. I have, or I was, or I ran, or whatever you use consistently is going to probably pop up. But it's like this whole huge thing that you have to wrap your head around. And I don't think people really think about that when it comes to predictive text, is the context is important too. And more important than the machine learning aspect of it. Because then it also feeds machine learning into it. Because we have a sentence structure, but people have their own manner of speaking or typing to people. And it might not follow standard conventions. So if you want to add a layer onto it, you can add a neural network learning, machine learning onto it and say, this is how this person types. They say eyegrass. They say you sandwich. Like, they don't use verbs a whole lot. They just kind of speak like a caveman.
You sandwich.
That can mean a lot of things. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
I was trying to think of... I just looked down at my notes and I saw this really long word, and it's lolterandoms. Because at some point during my research, I figured... I was thinking about how funny it would be for like a lol to random emo chick to have a predictive text. Because like a normal predictive text, like you'd type out like, before I go, I want you to know. But theirs would be like, before I pancake muffins, cranberries!
Yeah.
That's all I can imagine it would be. There's actually, like I said, there's another wrinkle to this puzzle on some phones, and this came up with like Android phones, is it can also use the internet to suggest words. Because we're all about what's trending now. Like, there's the trending sub like sections of YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and all that crap. Well, there's also like a trending section of your autocorrect.
Oh, possibly. Man.
Maybe not, but
I want to read all this so bad. I want to know my top scored words and everything.
Well, it's not that, but if there's something going on and just like everyone's talking about it, there's a possibility that I can feed into your predictive text. So like, I came up with this scenario. It's 2020 and the election's coming up and everyone's talking about it except for you apparently, and you pick up your phone and you go to text me and you're going to tell me who you're going to vote for, and you type out, I think I'm going to, maybe vote pops up because it knows that you're going to tell me who you're going to vote for because everyone's talking about it and literally nothing else is being discussed in the world.
Yeah.
So,
and then I say vote for, and then it only pops up Clinton in the little tiniest corner. It says sponsored by the Hillary Clinton Foundation.
You know,
InfoWars.
I was going to say, that's definitely someone's conspiracy theory.
Yeah, right? Well, I'm sure there are autocorrect conspiracies. That's why I brought that up.
Yeah.
Because what if they do make it more probable that you're trying to say a more establishment candidate's name than another?
Than Bernie Sanders?
Yeah.
It, I mean,
which would be so stupid.
It's totally stupid.
It's so dumb.
Yeah.
Like, if that was a scandal, I would hope that it would, oh, man.
There's people think that we live on a giant sphere, and the Earth, it's so big that the Earth appears to be flat.
Like a patch on a beach ball. That's a better...
If you want to know more, go listen to our controversial bonus episode.
Yeah, where Nick literally yells. You yelled.
Did I? Did I do a shout?
You got very shouted about abortion.
I did. I'm still guilty about it. But that whole, like, trending thing isn't going to be too much of a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
There's like never a thing that there's never a thing that people are always talking about, like
Trump,
unless it's like Pokemon Go.
Trump.
Well, I guess everyone's always talking about Trump. You're right. He's just so stupid.
Yeah.
Is that controversial?
No,
I don't think it is.
That's accepted as fact.
Yeah. So, I think that thing is kind of freaky, only because, like, I'm so disconnected from everything that's trending. Like, I just watched Childish Gambino's This Is America, like, last week.
Oh, man.
I knew about it when it came out, but yeah. I never actually listened to it. Anyway.
Don't catch you slipping, huh?
Yeah. That's a new meme. That one's a new one? That's a newer meme? Like, it just happened, like, 2 weeks ago?
What?
Caught me slipping? That's brand new.
It's from Childish Gambino.
It's also a meme that's like centuries old.
No way. So yeah, it's pretty scary.
You know what's scarier? Google Duplex.
Yeah, that is much more scarier. I was going to say what's scary to me is like when you go to text your wife,
yeah,
like, hey, hun, do you want some apples? And then it auto corrects it to, I'm going to kill the president on July 37th.
Don't you hate it when that happens?
And then you're a federal criminal.
Yeah.
And you got to go to crime court.
Got to go to crime
court. Every time.
Every time.
Also,
it gets expensive.
This was, when I said that, please, nobody clip that out and tweet it at Real Donald Trump. Yeah. Thanks.
So machine learning is cool and somewhat creepy.
That's why I said the 37th.
Yeah.
Go on. I'm sorry. Just want to avoid crime. Crime court.
The crime court. What is making all of this stuff a lot cooler is just when they add in more layers of machine learning. So there's like the super simple layer of words, and then you add in sentence structure, and then you add in trending topics, and you add in personalized words and context and all these
like, facts about Shrek.
Yeah, right. Facts about Shrek, the entire IMDb trivia section of all four Shrek movies
and
the Christmas special and Puss in Boots. That's a Shrek spinoff.
Right.
Can't forget that.
So all those layers.
Yeah. It gets complicated, but finding a way to tie all those together is what's creating all these developments, and that's basically how we got Google Duplex, which, again, if you haven't heard of that, it's the... Google unveiled it a while back, but it sounds like a human talking, and they demonstrated it calling to make a haircut reservation and then calling to make a restaurant reservation, and there's natural pauses and inflection in the words that makes it sound like they're asking a real question.
Realistic. There's one where it stops in the middle of the haircut. Can you just hold on just one moment? And says like,
Ricky, pick up that shit.
I'm sorry, you'll have to bleep that, but
I can't believe you did a swear.
I had to.
I'm very mad at you. I think we should at least play a little bit of the Google Duplex thing.
Yeah, know? Just for review purposes. Wink, wink, wink.
Wink, wink, wink. Don't sue us.
What happened? I'll help you. Hi, I'm calling to book a woman's haircut for a client. I'm looking for something on May 3rd.
Sure, give me 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, what time are you looking for around?
At 12 p.m.
We do not have a 12 p.m. available. The closest we have to that is a 1:15.
Do you have anything between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.?
Depending on what service she would like, what service is she looking for?
Just a woman's haircut for now.
Okay, we have a 10 o'clock.
10 a.m. is fine.
Okay, what's her first name?
The first name is Lisa.
Okay, perfect. So I will see Lisa at 10 o'clock on May 3rd.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Great. Have a great day. Bye.
So it's kind of weird, right?
It's just uncomfortable that they like pause, they go, and they do all that. Mm.
I was talking to
Scary skeleton.
I was talking to Shelby last night, and I was telling her about the Google Duplex, and she's like, when I'm old, I'm going to be the old lady that, like, in today's world, she'd be like, do you live in America? When she's talking to telemarketers, she's going to be like, are you a robot? But
I get to talk to those people often because of our job.
Yeah, that's a fun job. But it seems like on the surface, now that our audience has all listened to it, it seems on the surface easy to do. Like you just program in some ums and ahs. But adding a layer of speech pattern into it to make that feel natural and then add voice inflection and the interpretation from the person on the other line, like all of that becomes incredibly complicated. And at its very core, though, it's very much the same as what we've already talked about. Like, it's all neural network. It's all machine learning. It's still freaky.
Yeah.
The more they add to it, the more freaky
I'm very excited for them to branch into personalities.
Yeah.
Where, like, I want to order Chinese food, but I want the robot to have an emotional disorder where it gets upset when someone mispronounces a word.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stuff like that.
They're like their close relative just passed away and they're very sensitive about it.
Right. Which is not real. No one really passed away, but the robot thinks it's real.
And like that, it was their uncle that...
They used to make chicken chow mein from this restaurant. They used to get it all the time.
Yeah. So if they offer like the chicken chow mein, the robot's going to have a mental breakdown.
It's just, it's going to tear up a little bit. It's going to start reflecting on its memories of its great uncle.
The whole text-to-speech thing, though, is kind of interesting. Like I said, we did that video a while back, and I just wanted to touch on this a little bit because it is still somewhat related.
Uh-huh.
The process is pretty simple.
I actually have some experience with text-to-speech software.
What's that?
I typed text and ran an algorithm to have it saved as a speech file on my desktop in Siri's voice so that I could auto-tune it for rap songs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that.
So it's really cool.
That's what I'm talking about when it comes to text-to-speech. That was like Siri or Google or Cortana on the Windows devices. But those are done by, you get someone in there, you get a voice actor, give them a script, and it's like just a bunch of crap to say. Like in our video, literally, that's how it's done. Mm-hmm. Like they'll say sentences, they might say singular words. Like blueberry, was that what you're saying?
Blueberry. Blueberry sausages.
Blueberry sausages, that's right.
And Pete, what was the...
I have no idea, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
But they could also just be like...
Jimmy Buffett got a muffin at the Buffett.
Yeah. But they could also just say singular syllables. As long as they capture like all of the elements of human language, they slice all of those up into parts of speech, like phonemes or syllables, and sometimes just like whole words or common ending to words like or ing.
Oh man, it took us at least 3 years to get the Tim the Toolman Taylor sound. Yeah, they had to get all the voice actors to go back into the studio to do that one.
Yeah. It was very complicated. $1 million project. Wasn't very fun for anyone involved. But what they do is they plug those into a database, and then when you give it a word to say, it looks up the right pronunciation in its database, finds all the elements for it, and then pieces it together to make a word. So then, to add a layer onto that, you start adding in context with the neural network, and is this a question it's asking? Add a little bend at the end of the sentence to make it sound quizzitive. Or are they excited about it? Or are they really upset about it? Did they just find out that their uncle passed away and he really liked chow mein? They're going to get choked up. You got to add in some breaks in there. So that's basically Google Duplex.
So to sum it up,
we're all going to be ruled by robots.
Oh, my summation was cold. That's what Siri says when it's cold out.
Does she?
Yeah,
I don't
want
to use Siri either.
It took years. Siri doesn't listen to me anymore. She used to.
Hey, Siri.
Well,
I guess you're out of luck now.
What did you want to ask her? Hey, Siri. Why don't you listen to me anymore?
I'm here.
Nice one.
Hey, Siri.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Jonathan.
Help. Wow, you could tell we're so close.
Should we take a quick break, and when we get back, I got some sentence prompts for you. I don't want to know what your predictive text says about the prompts that I give you.
All right.
Fill out the sentence.
Let's do it.
All right. John and on and on. That's just how the story goes. Where can these fine people find us?
Well, that was beautiful. They can find us at StrangerStillShow.com.
And you can also find us at Facebook.com/group/StrangerStill. We're coming up on the next month, so we want to know what you want to hear.
We are the top-rated group called StrangerStill.
That's probably true.
We are the second largest populated group on Facebook called StrangerStill, behind a weird jazz group, and we're going to take them down.
Yeah.
We're going to destroy them.
We'll take them down.
I want all of them to lose their passion for their careers, to realize that their dreams have been shattered and they have to live in the corporate world.
Yeah.
And then we can become the most like
social
group.
Darwinism.
Yep.
Throw that in there.
So anyway.
And if you want to support us, we're on the Flying Machine Network, which is a great network. We love all the shows on there. But if you want to support us and the shows on the network, you can go to StrangerStillShow.com/shop.
Yep.
It'll take you to our Patreon page, and you can kick us a few bucks, and you get to choose the shows that you listen to most. So if you want to choose us, we get a majority of your patronage, and we want to use that to make videos for you guys. Extend the fun that we have
into your eyeballs.
Wow. That was kind of creepy. I'm predictive texting you.
That was only the first time that you used that joke, so that's okay.
Well, I think you only used it once, so you're kind of behind.
It's lazy, Nick.
You're lazy?
It's lazy writing, okay? If we're going to make good the season two, I'm going to have to get better jokes.
You got to save your jokes? While you're checking out the other shows on the network, because I know you are, you should check out Oops, I Talked Politics. It's kind of related to our...
It's a game show where they talk about anything but politics, and when they delve into it, they all have to say Oops, I Talked Politics and touch their nose, and the last person that does it loses.
Yeah, and they get shot off into space, never to be heard from again. No, I was going to talk about it because our bonus episode next month is I kind of talk about how stupid Republicans are.
Uh-huh. Which is a popular topic.
Which is a popular topic on their show. But they just talked about how like it's only conservatives on the Supreme Court panel, and that's a scary world to be in.
Yeah, and the Potster podcast talked about that too.
Yeah,
with Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
So you want to get caught up and in the loop, you liberal?
Yeah, you libtard. Can I say that?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I did. So, hey, I got some predictive text sentences for you.
Okay.
I want to see what your predictive text does to finish out these sentences.
So, can I use this as a marketing opportunity to be the most emo boy?
Yes.
The saddest boy?
We all know you are.
Hashtag sad boy.
We all know you are.
Go like all my photos.
All right, here we go. Welcome to another episode of...
Hashtag saddest boy.
Nope, you got to fill it out.
Oh.
Welcome to another episode of...
And then I'm just doing middles, lefts. What are we doing?
Just do whatever your heart desires. I'll tell you, mine said, welcome to another show of... welcome to another episode of the show tonight.
Welcome to another episode of a wonderful movie with the family of our family.
Aw, that's so sweet. I expect it to be more depressing. What about this week? We're going to talk about blank.
All right.
All of my answers are so boringly hilarious. Mine is, this week, we're going to be talking about the same thing again. John didn't think that was funny.
Aw, this is sweet.
Okay.
This week, we're going to talk about... the music, and then the music is in a good place, and you have to be friends to help you.
That's so sweet. That is sweet. All right. The next one I have for you is, my favorite Pokemon is blank.
My favorite Pokemon is...
Mine came out to, my favorite Pokemon is the one I want to go see.
My favorite Pokemon is the one that you have, like, a really, really nice person to look up to.
I thought yours was going to be way more depressing than this. John's showing it to me.
I must have given my phone therapy overnight. It's not as emo as it normally is.
All right, this might be a little bit more depressing.
It's trying to cheer me up. Maybe I've crossed maximum sadness.
Okay, last week, this is a long one, so I'm going to wait for you. Last week, start typing.
Okay.
I opened my eyes, and what did I see but a blank?
Oh, my first choice is little, I guess. Last week.
Mine was too.
I opened my eyes.
Mine was last week. Oh. I'll read mine, and then you can do it.
Okay.
Mine was, last week I opened my eyes, and what did I see? But a little red and moon was like the last one.
I want you to read mine, because this is real, I swear.
Okay. I know, because I just saw you tapping it last week. I opened my eyes, and what did I see? But a little bit of a small penis.
What? It's real. What's wrong with me?
A lot. Here's one. The whole episode has just led up to this because I want to know, the worst crime I ever committed was blank.
The worst crime I ever committed.
Want to hear mine? It's awesome.
Was.
Mine's really sad. And it speaks to me being a dad. Mine was, the worst crime I ever committed was a joke. Your silence speaks volume.
Oh, this one. I mean, it's just too complex. The worst crime I ever committed was a bad day for a while. I was just hanging home with you guys. I gotta. Is it time for you too? So much. And then you gotta go get your groceries.
Yours is so much better than mine. I guess I don't use my phone enough. Oh, well. Can't win them all. Poe Buddy's nerfed. All those other isms. You got anything else for this week's episode?
Nope. I'm still love you and your friends to be happy with your family.
And I'm still Nick.
And this is a good job of our course, but I'm not gonna... It's good, so I'll be there tomorrow night.
I give you... The Incredible Flying Machine!